We are doing the Pirkei Avot with the Rambam's commentary, and we're holding in the first chapter, the 10th Mishnah. Shmaya v'Avtalion kiblu mehim. Shmaya and Avtalion received their tradition from Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach. Shmaya was the Nasi, Avtalion was the Av Betin. Shmaya Omer, Shmaya says, Ehov et amlacha, like work. Person's attitude should be that he likes work. Usnat rabanut, and a person should hate rabanut. And rabanut means positions of greatness, positions of leadership, of authority. Valtit vadal rashut, and don't make yourself known to the politicians. Don't make yourself known to the aristocrats, to the people that are running the show. Explains the Rambam. What is rashut? Rashut is hashilton, the government. Don't make yourself known to the government, to those in power. B'shalosh tzavot eile, and these three commandments that Shmaya told us, love work, hate positions of authority, and don't make yourself known to the government, yesh behem tovat adat ba'olam hazeh. Included in this advice is a good way to behave within religion and a good way to behave practically in this world. L'fi shebehedel milacha, because when one is lacking work, when one is not productive, one is not working in life, yetzer lo, a person is going to feel constricted, v'yigzol v'yavel, and ultimately he will steal, he will do disgraceful things. So the first piece of advice is a person should be fond of work. It's good, a person should have a source of income, a person has to view work positively. Uvirdifat asrara, and if a person tries to chase after positions of leadership, that's the next piece of advice. Shmaya tells us, don't chase after positions of leadership, because if you do, yavru alav nisyonot ba'olam, a person will find himself encountering different tests in this world, umatzavim kashim, and he'll find himself in difficult situations, lefishim kanebim ne'adam, because when he's chasing after a position of authority, in essence he's jealous of others, v'omed neged mitnagdav, and he's entering a field of competition. Competition for who's going to be in power. And within that competition, he's fighting for a post, he's fighting for a position, and in fighting for that position, he's going to have to contend with his competitors, and in that, he's going to have to contend with challenges to his morals, to his scruples. Umafsid dato. And ultimately, he will lose his place religiously. Kmo shamru, as our sages taught us, kevan shenitmana adam milmata. Once a person was appointed down below, na'asa rasha milmala. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, when a person gets a position down below, in heaven, they say, okay, he's become wicked. So, the assumption is that once a person is in position of leadership, once a person is contending for a position of leadership, he's going to do things that are unscrupulous. All is fair in love and war. We don't believe that. We say all is not fair in love and war. But love and war can bring a person to a situation where he will be forced or he will feel pressured to do things that are improper. So the first two pieces of advice, enjoy work. Person should be fond of doing work, of making a living, and a person should hate positions of authority, of leadership. Bechen ha'hikerut im ha'melech, and so too, when one is known to the king, kashe me'od li'natzel mimena ba'olam, it is difficult to be saved from that in this world, v'hi mafsida et adat, and it causes one to lose one's religion. Lefi she'eino mabit, ela lema she'ikaveo la'shalit. When a person is dealing with a leader, with a monarch, with a governor, with a politician, one starts thinking in terms of how do I make myself favorable in his eyes? And when that is one's focus, that overshadows the feeling of how do I make myself favorable in God's eyes? One feels the threat of the leader, the governor, far more acutely than one feels the threat of God. And so if one is known to those in positions of authority, one is going to be apt to try and make himself most favorable in their eyes, and that will ultimately contradict his being favorable in God's eyes. And you know the story of Doeg, who was in Shaul's army. Doeg reached a point where he murdered. Doeg killed men, women, and children. And who was he trying to get close to? He was trying to get close to a king who is called Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of Hashem. The chosen one of Hashem, Shaul, who merited prophecy. And nonetheless, because Doeg wanted to be favorable in his eyes, he slipped, he said something that was wrong, he spoke badly about the Kohanim, and ultimately that led him to be put in a position where the king said, well, if you're saying they're rebelling against me, then you take the sword and kill them. And Doeg did, in fact, kill out the city of Nob, kill out the Kohanim. All of this because he wanted to look good in the eyes of the king. So this is Doeg, who was the top general, and this is Shaul, who was our first, and in many ways he was an exceptional king. And nonetheless, because Doeg wanted to look good in his eyes, look at what sins he came to. So therefore Shemaya gives us advice which is good practically in this world and good religiously in this world. He says, love work, hate the rabbinate here, the idea is, yeah, a person shouldn't be looking for positions of leadership, but rather he should shy from it. And don't make yourself known to those in office. Don't make yourself known to those in power, because then you'll be pressured to do things to conform with what they like. Mishnah Yudalef. Avtalion Omer. So now we're going on to Shmaya's counterpart, Avtalion, the Av Bezdin. He says as follows. Chachamim. Wise men, hizaru bedivrechem, be careful with your words. Shema tachovu chovat galut, lest you be heir and you be held accountable and you will find yourself that you're chayev. The court rules in heaven that you have to go into exile. Vitiglulim ko mamayim arayim, and you'll exile to a place where there are bad waters. Veyishtu atalmidim abayim achechem v'yamutu, and the disciples who followed you to this place will drink those waters and die. Venimtza shem shamayim mitchalel, and it will turn out that the name of heaven is disgrace. What is Avtalion talking about? Explains the Rambam, mayim arayim kinui laminut. When we speak about bad waters, that's a nickname for minut, for Christianity or any other form of belief that contradicts Judaism. Amal. So what Avtalion was saying, hizaru bedivrechem, be careful with your words, berabim, when you're speaking to the masses. Shelo yehei bo makom litot, don't leave room for error. Shenitan lefarsho lekan ulekan, don't say things that can be understood this way or that way. When one speaks to the masses, one has to be careful to be lucid, to be as clear as possible, so that there's no room for doubt as to what one meant. Shema yiyu shem anashim pokrim, lest there be people present who are apostates, ve'yifarshu kefi emunatam, and they'll take advantage of something which you said which is unclear, and they'll explain it according to their erroneous beliefs. Ve'arei atalmidim kvar shamuhu mikem, and the students will think, hey, He did say that, so that must be what he meant. V'yachzeru laminut, and then the students might end up going after things that are contradictory to Judaism. V'yachshevu shekach hayta kavanatchem, and then they'll think, well, that's what the rabbi must have meant. He said it. They're only working off of what he said. V'yeh b'kach ilul shem shemayim, and ultimately that will be a disgrace of the name of heaven. Kmo sheira l'antignos ishsocho im tzadok uvaitus, and this is really a reference to something. This is something which happened in our history. We know that Antigone, one of the first Tanan, in the beginning of the Zugos, he said a sentence that his two students, Sadok and Baitus, misunderstood and were able to misrepresent to the other students and start a movement of Tzedukim and Baitusim, and it all stems from a sentence which he said which was not clear enough. Let's read the Mishnah. Antignos Ishsocho, he said, don't serve Hashem. Al tiyu kavdim amshamshim t'rav amanat lekabel pras. Elevu kavdim amshamshim shelo amanat kabel pras. Don't be like servants who serve for the sake of a reward, but serve as though not for the sake of reward. So the Kambaita said, it must be that he's saying that because there is no world to come, there is no reward. And then they said, oh, we're working for nothing. We're never going to get anything for this. And then they got all the, not all, but they got other students to follow their misunderstanding of what Antigone said, and they started their movements. Now, really, our sages say that Tzedek and Baitus, they were just looking for an out. They were looking for an excuse. And they knew if they just say, we don't believe in anything, so no one will accept them. So they found a way of taking his words and twisting them. This isn't so clear whether they were purposely sinful or they erred. But that's what the commentators say. And the Rambam presents it. He says there might be people in the congregation who are listening to you, and you talk to the masses, there might be people among the congregation who are apostates. Meaning the Rambam seems to say, if there are apostates, they'll be able to twist your words. And then he says, and just like happened with Tzedek and Baitus, so it seems like the Rambam also means that Tzedek and Baitus were apostates even before they heard what Antigonus said. Kofer, someone who was an apikoros. Okay, so let's reread the Mishnah and apply what the Rambam taught us to understand the Mishnah. Avtalion Omer, Avtalion says, Chachamim yizahu b'divrichem. Wise men, be careful with your words, the Rambam said, when you're speaking in public to the masses, be careful what you say, lest you say things that can be understood in two ways. Shematachovu chovat galut, lest you find yourself in a situation where in heavens they send you in exile. V'tiglulim koma mayim ha'raim. And you're going to end up in a place where there are bad waters. What are the bad waters? That there are going to be people over there who go with minut. So I think we can understand that the Rambam understands this Mishnah one of two ways. Either you never know where you are and who's listening, and maybe you're in a place where there are people who already don't believe, and they'll twist your words, and then they'll give those waters over to your students who do try to learn correctly. And they'll die, meaning they'll follow their footsteps and go off the derech. They'll follow their way, and then God's name will be disgraced. That's one possible understanding. The question is, how does the Rambam understand chovat galut? What Avtalion says in the beginning of the Mishnah: be careful what you say, lest you end up having to go to galut. So we could understand it either you'll be in a place where you don't know who's listening, or galut over here is a reference maybe to your words. That be careful with your words, shema tachovu chovat galut, lest your words are in a situation where they're taken out of context, so to speak. They're taken to exile, and they're taken to exile to people who are following minut. That might be another understanding in the Rambam. I'm not sure how the Rambam explains his explanation in the words of the Mishnah. So we offer two possible understandings. I am not too pleased with either one. I think there must be a better understanding, a better way to understand the Rambam, which I don't know. I don't know exactly how the Rambam fits this explanation into the beginning of the words of the Mishnah. Mishnah Yud Bet. Hillel v'Shamai kiblu mehem. So Hillel and Shammai, they got their tradition from them, from Shmaya and Avtalion. Hillel omer, Hillel says, Hevei mitalmidav shel Aaron. And here there are two versions in the Mishnah. One version says, be from the students of Aaron. And one version says, Hevei kit talmidav shel Aaron, be like the disciples of Aaron. Ohev shalom, love peace, v'rodef shalom, and chase after peace. Ohev et abriot, love God's creatures, umkavan et Torah, and bring them close to Torah. Now here, in this edition of the Mishnah, the next Mishnah is really connected to this. It's all one long Mishnah. Hu haya omer, he, Hillel, used to say, negad shma avad shma, the name that's been expanded is going to be lost. Dilamosif Yosef, he who doesn't add will ultimately die, will be collected. The Dilayalif Ktalachayav, and whoever hasn't derived Torah, whoever hasn't learned out Torah, deserves the death penalty. Udishtamesh Bitagachalaf, and whoever uses the crown is going to pass from the world. So here we have an exception. We have a Mishnah that's all in Aramaic. The Rambam quotes it as the end of the previous Mishnah, but ordinarily we say the Mishnahs were written in Hebrew. This Mishnah, for some reason, Hillel's talking in Aramaic. Now, we know Hillel grew up in Babylon. Hillel went to learn under Shmaya and Avtalion in Babylon, and that's where he got great. So Hillel was also known as Hillel HaBavli, Hillel the Babylonian. But why is he suddenly saying this Mishnah in Aramaic? So that, when we learn Pirkei Avot more in depth, we will have to deal with. Right now, we're just doing the Rambam, so let's see what the Rambam says. Maybe, but then why do we have so many other Mishnayot in the name of Hillel in this parak and the next parak, and they're all in Hebrew? Why is this one suddenly like this? We have the other one, Al Da'atef Tatfuch V'Sof Metafach Yitufun. We have another story about the one that was drowned. Over there, Hillel also speaks in Aramaic. You drowned others, that's why you were drowned. And those that drowned you will also be drowned. Okay, that whole Mishnah needs explanation. So we spoke about it in our other Pirkei Avos class. Mishnah Yudbet. Says the Rambam, Amu alav ala Aaron alav shalom. They said about Aaron, may rest in peace. Ki kshayam margish, that when he felt or shomea or heard al adam, about a person shetocho ra, that internally he is bad, v'sheyesh biyado avera, or that he's holding on to a certain sin, hayam akdim lo shalom. Aaron would greet the person in peace, umityaded imo umarbe ledaber imo. And he'd become friendly with him and talk to him a lot. So imagine, now you just walked out of eating a cheeseburger, and the chief rabbi walks over and starts talking to you, lays an arm on your shoulder and starts talking to you, and you're thinking, I'm standing next to the chief rabbi of Israel, and he's talking to me so friendly after what I just did. And then that person himself, mitbayesh, would be embarrassed. And he'd say, Oilo, woe to him! Ilu yada Aaron et matzpuno maasav. If Aaron would only know his conscience, what he had done, lo yamar shelatzmo liroteinu, he wouldn't let us two be seen together. Kol shekein ledaberi mi, certainly he wouldn't have spoken to me. Ela shani tzlob chasid, must be that Aaron views me as a chasid. Avel ani amet et machshavtos, I'll make what he thought true. V'yashuv yachzol yot mitalmidav u'min alomdim imenu. And then the person decides he'll be one of Aaron's disciples, he'll be one of those that learn from him. Amar Hashem, God said b'taro otom b'mida nichbada hazu b'sh. Hashem said, when he describes Aaron who had this great quality, God says about him, b'shalom u'v'mishor halachiti. He went with me, God says, with peace and the straight path. V'rabim eshiv me'avon, and he brought many back from sin. Now this is an exceptional approach to people. Meaning, you could stand in front of an audience and start preaching. You could stand in front of an audience and start saying, it's wrong, you're not allowed to eat cheeseburgers. It's wrong, you're not allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. Everything you said was right. How many people did you move? You said what was right, but were you effective? Aaron went, and he went the other way around. Treated the person as though he already had the positive trait. Baruch Hashem, we have a 2-year-old daughter. So, certain things she understands, certain things she doesn't understand. We take her to a gun, so we take the elevator up with the carriage. Every time we enter the elevator, so I bring her to gun, and my wife picks her up from gun. When I bring her to gun, I tell her to press the floor that we have to go to. And when my wife picks her up, she wants to press the button, my wife tells her to press the ground floor. So, after a few times that this happened, she noticed the contradiction. So we walk into the elevator and I tell her to push the button and she says, no, but Ima says push the other button. So I tried explaining it to her once and my wife tried explaining it to her. We both tried 2 or 3 times before we wisened up and we understood that it's beyond her. So nowadays when we walk into the elevator, I hit the floor where we're supposed to go and she smiles at me and says, Ima says to hit this button, and hits the ground floor button. And I've learned. I tell her, Kol hakavod, that's wonderful. You're such a good girl. You listen to Ima. Kol hakavod, that's wonderful. You listen to your mother. What are we doing when we do that? We're reinforcing the positive. Sometimes you're standing there and Bezrat Hashem, you'll have children and you'll see that children go through a stage where they start hitting their parents. So you can react and say, if you hit me, I'll hit you. If you dare lay a finger on me, that's chutzpah. Or when the child first picks up their hand, you could say, I know you want to hit me. It's so wonderful that you're not going to hit me. Kol hakavod that you're not hitting me. Kol hakavod that you're holding yourself back. And sometimes when you speak positively about a child, you're going to change him. I know a kid who wasn't too good with children. He wasn't careful enough with children. So his mother praised him once in front of other people, speaking to other people, and not talking to him directly. His mother said, he is so good with children. He's so careful with children. Now he heard this and he said, me? I'm so careful with children. I'm so careful with children. He must have been 5 or 6. Today he is 27 or something. He's still very careful with children. How did his mother make that change in him? not by hitting him over the head, not by telling him, no, you can't do that, be more careful, but by speaking as though he already had the trait. Very often we can be moved much greater distances when people treat us positively. The Gemara tells us about a rabbi who, a person walked in to meet him, and the person wasn't keeping Shemitah properly. And then the rabbi said to the people standing there, have you ever seen such a righteous person like him? Did you ever see how he keeps Shemitah? And when the guy walked out, so he walked out a different person. Now he was much more careful in Shemitah. The rabbi just said, I keep Shemitah well, so I better live up to that. Aaron was the founder of this movement. Aaron walked over to a person when he said, hello, you're talking about the chief rabbi of Israel. You're talking about the Kohen Gadol. He's walking and putting his arm around the person and talking to the person and treating him warmly. Now suddenly he feels, wait a second, why is he treating me this way? He's treating me this way because he thinks I'm an important person. I'm a God-fearing person, so I have to behave that way. I once had the difficult experience of having a kid kicked out of high school. It was about 6 weeks before the end of the year, and he was in 12th grade, and he did a few very problematic things, slashed teacher's tires, and he did some very problematic things, and it reached a point where even though there were only 6 weeks left of the school year, we had to ask him to leave, and I had to call the shot. Like the principal said, if you tell me to ask him to leave, I will ask him to leave. Whatever you say, that's what I'm doing. So I called the shot, and I said, I don't think we have a choice because he's influencing other children badly. We do have to ask him to leave. And after we asked him to leave, I took him out for supper. Took him out. I asked him what restaurant he likes. And even though he wasn't coming to school anymore, but I didn't want him to be in the parks. So he had a hunch that I was responsible for asking him to leave. He invited me, after I invited him to the restaurant, he invited me to meet him in the dark park late at night. And I told him, I'll come, if that's what he wants, no problem. You know, you take a guy up on his bluff, sometimes that already puts him down. But when I took him out, so I spoke to him about what a positive person I thought he was, and how much potential I thought he had. And then he said, okay, then why'd you have me kicked out? So I said, because I think that you're making many great advancements and you're a wonderful person. I felt that the students weren't understanding you correctly. And the way the other students perceived things that were going on, it was really harmful to them. So I want to think with you how we could continue moving forward because you've made tremendous headway. I think you're amazing, and I want to maintain a kesher with you, and I want to build with you, and I want to think through with you how we could work out the next 6 weeks that it should work well. I didn't have a choice. I feel bad that I had to see that you were kicked out, but at the same time, I think you're a wonderful person. And the guy worked with us. I mean, the guy did work with us. If you approach a person like Aaron Akon, you approach a person positively, sometimes even in circumstances that are not so pleasant, you can move forward. And about this trait, that Aaron was famous about this trait, this is what Hillel meant. And furthermore, Hillel said, the Rambam really connects the two Mishnayot, and he says, now the next sentence that Hillel said, you should know if a person became famous, so pretty soon he's going to go down. Furthermore, you would to say, if a person doesn't keep on moving forward in learning Torah, God's not going to give that person too much life. The purpose of life God gave us is to perform mitzvot, and a person always has to think how to move forward. My father always used to tell us, learning Torah you have to do like running a business. If you want to run a successful business, you have to stop periodically and ask yourself, how do I make my business better? How could I save money? How could I make more money? A person always has to ask himself, how can I do better? Well, learning Torah, it's the same thing. A person has to stop and ask himself, okay, what can I do better? And sometimes the changes are minor. very often we think, okay, I'll get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'll learn. Well, maybe if you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll be shot all day. Maybe you won't be able to learn. Who said that's good? But maybe you could waste 5 minutes less in this Seder. A person very often can move forward gradually in small things, but a person should always be thinking how to move forward. Too much isn't good. Our sages told us, tafasta merube lo tafasta. You try to accomplish too much, you're not going to get anything. That's why it's important to move forward gradually and slowly, but to constantly move forward. If I add one more halacha a day, good. Aval mi shelo lamad klal, if you have a person who hasn't learned altogether, really it's fitting he should get the death penalty. A person's purpose in life is to learn. A person can't go through life and say, oh, I didn't learn. So learn! A person can't allow himself to go through life unlearned. Now, what about a person that does learn? So then Hillel balances that and says, v'chol ha-mishtamesh b'cheter, but whoever uses the crown of Torah, ah, I learned, look at me. Yoved Hillel says, that person will be lost. Klomar, mi she'oseh ta Torah parnasa, the Rambam explained this over here, that Hillel means if one makes the Torah his parnasa, he uses the Torah. The Torah is the way he's making a living. Then that person is going to pass from the world. And this is what Hillel meant with this, as we will explain further throughout this tractate. And our sages gave a sign to remember this. What is taga tamid gavra achrina? Klomar, shasulo lishtamesh betalmidei chachamim, ela im ken haya talmido. Our sages said, you're not allowed to ask a sage to work on your behalf unless he's your own Talmud. So our sages, that's another understanding over here, that don't use the crown of Torah means don't use the other students of Torah. You're a Rebbe, you have your students, they want to help you build the sukkah, fine. But there are other students, they're not your students, then they shouldn't be helping you build the sukkah just because you're a Rebbe. That's not. No problem, they want to work. Whenever I hire guys from the Machon to work, help me move or build or do something like that, I always come to them and tell them, there's someone who's looking to hire someone. At what wages would you be interested in doing such and such a job? After they've told me how much they want to accept this payment, then I tell them, okay, I'm that someone. I don't want them to give me a discount just because it's me and they don't feel comfortable. Oh, for you? No. No. If you're going to work by me, I'll pay for your time. There is an aspect where halachically what I'm doing is wrong. Our sages tell us that a Rebbe's job is to sometimes let his students work for him because they'll learn from being in his proximity. Part of their learning is being there, being a part of his home. So I always tell guys, do that by other Rebbeim. You don't need me for that. Go help other Rebbeim build their sukkahs. That's a very good idea. I think it's an excellent idea. For free. But you offer it. Okay. Right? Okay. So also it's a fun outing. But you also have to appreciate that really, if we had the proper appreciation from the Torah, we'd run after that. I used to go to Mordechai Eliyahu's house to take out the garbage. Mm-hmm. I'd come and ask his wife if I could take out the garbage, because I knew that by being in the house I was learning things. Rav Pesach Zatzal, I used to trim the trees around his house. So he used to get upset at me and tell me not to do it. But they were in his way, and until they got a gardener to do it, he had Parkinson's. It was hard for him to get out of the house. He said, no, I'll gain by doing it. Our sages say, Gadol shimusha yotam elimuda. Serving a rabbi is greater than learning by him. I used to do somersaults to have a car in the Lower East Side so I could drive Rabbi Feinstein around. Because I learned more from driving him around than I could learn in a class. And he wouldn't talk to me while I was driving. That was one of the things I learned from him. I'd try to ask him questions, and he'd make believe he was asleep. He didn't want to talk to me. I'm driving. I have to be fully focused on my driving. But when we'd get to the destination, he'd sit in the car and answer whatever questions I had. He'd give me the time, but not while we were driving. If we were waiting for someone to get in the car, then suddenly he was awake to answer any questions I had. So Chazal tell us, we should value it. But a person is not supposed to use that crown of Torah. So that's the Rambam's explanation of this Mishnah. Yeah, I just want to point one thing out. Hillel lived by what he said. Hillel had the ability of living in Israel, and he went out to Babylon, he went out to Bavel, and learned by Shemaiah and Avtalion while other people were living comfortably in Israel. He went to Chutzarts to learn by Shmaya and Avtalion. And then when he came back to Israel, so there were the two sons of Beteira. There was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, and I don't remember what his brother's name was. There were two Bnei Beteira, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and one other. And they were the Nesim when Hillel came to Israel. And then Pesach came and they had a halacha question and no one knew the answer but Hillel. So then Bnei Beteira said, "We see you're a greater sage than us." And the two brothers told him, "You be the Nasi." And then Hillel took the position of Nasi and he started chastising the people. He said, "Why am I sitting up here and you're all sitting down there? Because I went out to Babylon and learned under the great sages, Shmaya and Avtalion." So Hillel held it against them. "Why didn't you guys come?" "Yeah, I lived as a pauper." Hillel lived the years when he was studying under Shmaya and Avtalion, he was very, very poor. But he held it against the other people. "You guys have the responsibility that Hillel tells us in our Mishnah. You have to add on your learning. If you didn't learn, there's no excuse. You have to learn. You have no right to life if you're not going to educate yourself." That was Hillel's approach, and he lived by this approach. Yeah?
Just a random question about like your mom. I think you like, want to put that around on Sunday, you shouldn't take a wage off the
Torah. Oh.
I think that's something in the Gemara, right? I think it was like all the rabbis would always take a work of wage off. I was looking at the Sforno of Pirkei Avot, and I think he bases this also on the Gemara that talks about how if a person teaches Torah or whatever, and he can be paid not for the Torah he teaches, but for the time he would have been able to do something else. I think the way Sforno explains it, he wants to say that if a person would be teaching Torah anyway, his criteria seems to be that it's okay to teach Torah if you would do it even if you had enough money. Like if you won the lottery, you won $1 billion, but you keep teaching Torah. So teaching Torah is your criteria, fine, so you gotta make a living, fine, you gotta eat some food all the time, okay. But that's not why I'm teaching Torah. Whereas you know, the other guy that said he knows a lot of Torah says, "Hey, Torah, then I know a lot of Torah, so teaching is a convenient way to make money. You know, what's just that? Look at me, I'm lucky." And so there, the ikar is he wants to make money, and so he wants to try to say, "What are you doing now for?"
We had a class on this halachically. This is discussed in halacha. If you want, as Hashem, we could go through it again. We have in the question and answer session, I think it's called the Kolel concept, the class in which we discussed this. But if you want, in the question and answer session, we could go through it again. Should we do one more Mishnah or pause here?